We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. That's right. To all you high strangers around the globe, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. So much to discuss tonight on this first program of 2012. Where shall we begin? How about the great state of Illinois? I always love stories about people who go and they just do something mundane. You know, they go to a restaurant, they buy a drink somewhere, and then something weird happens. Well, right now there is a lawsuit hitting the Pepsi Corporation, and it stems from the experience of a man from Madison County, Illinois. He claims that he wanted a Mountain Dew, and so he went to a vending machine. Of course, Mountain Dew is made by the Pepsi Corporation. When he got his Mountain Dew, he said a couple swigs made him violently ill. He started throwing up. He realized it had to be something in the drink, and so he poured all the drink out into a styrofoam cup, and he says... out came a little shriveled mouse. So he, of course, has sued the Pepsi Corporation. Now, he claims that when this mouse came out, he called some kind of a number, a telephone number, to complain. And some adjuster came out, retrieved the mouse. They did some tests and then brought it back. And he claims that he was never satisfied. So now that this thing is making its way into court, the Pepsi company is claiming that this whole case should be dismissed because they have an expert who claims that if there really were a mouse in a can or a bottle of Mountain Dew, it would completely dissolve and that there might be a kind of a jellified little nasty glob of something left, but there's no way that a mouse in Mountain Dew would not be completely deteriorated. So that means if you drink a mouse in your soda, you would never know it. That, in fact, it would be a liquid substance, absolutely liquefied. And that's kind of nasty in and of itself. But, you know, it reminds me of these stories about people who claim that, you know, you can dissolve bones and things if you put them in a cup of soda. So maybe that's the best way to dispose of a murdered body. I don't know, but I'm sure now many people will be setting up mouse traps, leaving mice in a container of Mountain Dew, and then, of course, determining what the outcome would be if that actually happened. So very strange indeed, and I don't even know how that could happen, but I don't see why it couldn't. Hey, listen, folks. It's a big show tonight. We have a lot of weird stuff to discuss. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. I'm author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan, founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Hardwood Forrest Connor. Happy 2012, Forrest.
Happy New Year, Joshua.
Wow, can you believe it? We've talked about
it's
this.
It's 2012, man.
It is 2012. Is this a dream? Is this happening? Am I going to wake up?
I mean, I remember years ago, I was like, what will I be doing on 2012? And when I remember talking to you 10 years ago,
yes.
Talking about you're going to have a big blowout at your house on December 21st, 2012.
That's right. And now I've got to figure out how to do this. Now I'm getting a little scared. I'm thinking, do I want to be partying that night, or do I want to be, like, battening down the hatches? I'm not sure.
Why can't you do both?
May as well have a... We gotta party somehow. We have to do it. Because it is finally here. This is the year that has been discussed and anticipated for thousands of years from the perspective of numerous cultures, a great year of transitions, and I believe it's going to be picking up a lot of steam soon, especially this spring around April. And I have a reason for that I'll get to a little later. And then I think we're just going to be relentlessly sort of pounded and twisted through all these wild events up until December 21st. No one knows exactly what will happen. I do have some ideas. And you know what? We are going to be here, if all goes well, on the airwaves to kind of help guide you through the amazing months to come, because I believe we're going to see some remarkable things happen regarding that mind-body-environment relationship. But tonight, as a special treat, I was going to kick off 2012 with a special guest, billed as the mystifier of the finest affairs, elegant, devilish, fetching and unforgettable, a mentalist, a mind reader known as the Southern Charmer, a man named Keller O'Neill. He was going to be here in the studio with us, but then he contacted me last night and said he has come down with this bug that's going around. And man, let me tell you, it's rampant here in the South. I don't know if it's like that everywhere, but people are just sick left and right. I'm always knocking on wood because I've been fortunate. I have navigated through this maze. Have you been okay, Forrest?
I've been well. I mean, I've had my allergies have been adding up a lot this over the past few months or a couple months, but everything, knock on wood, I've been well this season.
Yeah. So, well, I hope we stay that way. My friend Dean gave me a colloidal silver making kit, so I've been guzzling that stuff. Hopefully, I won't
turn blue.
Too blue. I could make a lot of jokes about that, but I won't.
I mean, just grow your beard out. You look like Papa Smurf.
It does that. I even met a guy who turned blue, but these guys are drinking like bathtub loads of this every day. I think they want to be blue.
Right.
They want to be the center of attention. So anyway, we are going to have him on the next show if all goes well, but I'm very happy that he let us know that instead of coming into the studio and getting us all sick.
Exactly.
But I'm wondering, is this like a bad omen now? Is this an omen of doom that our first special guest of 2012 is sick, couldn't make it, and that means bad things are going to happen now the rest of the year?
Well, no, he foresaw that the show is going to be good today, and he didn't want to screw it up for you.
There you go. That's the way to look at things, because I feel good about 2012. I actually do. I think some terrible stuff is going to happen this year, but I think I'm going to be okay, and I think that you're going to be okay, and I think that the people who listen to this show are going to be okay.
Oh, yeah.
But if they don't listen to the show, oh, they're going to die horrible, torturous death. It's going to be
rude.
It's going to suck. It's going to just be a terrible thing. And speaking of sickness, Did I just hear a little voice?
The sickest of them all.
A little high-pitched voice in my headphones?
A little mousy, I think, is what it was.
Is there a spirit in here? I heard the voice of a woman who comes into contact with a lot of people every day, and many of them are fans of this show, who go in there because here's what happened. Today, Shelley sent me a text, and she said, some guys came into Wright's Coin Shop and said that they're fans of the show and me. She had to add in the "and me" part. Like, she's the big celebrity here in the studio now.
Well, I was talking to her earlier, and she said the people that listen to the show are the smartest people in radio, or the smartest people that are out there. The people that listen to the show know what's going on.
Investigator Shelley Wright, Wright's Coin Shop. And we don't want to disappoint her fan base now.
That's right.
Yeah. Shelley, tell us about your fans and how things have been going.
They drive a fleet of, like, white Sprinter vans.
I have no idea what they drove, but they were very normal and very nice and sincere and polite and wonderful. We had a great visit today.
Well, how's 2012 going?
It's going great. I think it's going to be a good year. Well, for some of us.
And it is true. You were saying that the people who come in to your shop who are fans of this program, and you, are the people you like to deal with.
They really are.
Because, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you said they understand how the world works.
They do. They understand how it works. They know what to do, what to say. They have their finger on the pulse of everything, and they're a delight to deal with.
How is gold and silver doing as 2012 kicks off?
They have been low. They have been. And there are some people that are panic selling right now, and they shouldn't. They should be buying. It's a wonderful opportunity. Average out your costs if you bought things.
I'm definitely buying things.
I am, too.
You know, it's funny because maybe a few months ago, I was talking to Mobius about how that it seems like there is this sense that as 2012 kicks in, nobody knows what's going to happen. Everybody's getting prepared. Everybody's getting their survival gear together. But there has been speculation that maybe we're going to have some kind of UFO encounter this year. That the visitors, as Whitley Strieber calls them, are going to return. And yet, we had kind of a flap, which is what you call a period of heightened activity last spring. But after that, it was kind of dead. Not a whole lot, from my point of view, was going on. And I told Mobius just maybe a few weeks ago that it's about time for a flap to kick back in. And then just a couple days after that, boom, flap started. And it started right here in Western North Carolina. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about some of the UFOs that have been seen. And the funny thing is, it began December 21st of 2011, exactly 1 year before the fabled date of December 21st, 2012. So what the heck's going on? I'm going to explain what's happening here, and we just have so much to get into tonight. I'm glad you're spending this evening with us. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the program where the unusual becomes usual. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Yes, it is that time. 2012 is here. Buckle your seatbelts, my friends. It's going to kick in hard soon. And according to some of the Mayan predictions, the cycles that they talk about, probably around April is when things are going to start getting really crazy. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. This is the show that demonstrates the summit of man's enlightenment and the pit of his dark depravity. It is a wild, spontaneous ride into a weird, surprising, and twisted world. And, you know, just when you start thinking, ah, oh, I've got it so rough, all you have to do is pause and look at how crazy it is for some other people. In fact, you know, Forrest, there was a perfectly healthy two-headed baby born recently. Did you see that in the news?
I missed that.
Yeah. Perfectly healthy two-headed baby in Brazil. Usually when two-headed babies are born, they have some kind of severe problem internally, and they don't live very long.
Right.
This baby, however, is in such good health. All indications are this is going to grow up. I say this. This thing. No, this little man is going to grow up to be a big two-headed man. Look at this picture, if you can see it, Forrest. I have a picture of this two-headed baby here. And it looks exactly like you would imagine a two-headed person to look.
Yes.
And they say that this baby is in such good health that there's really nothing that they need to do. It shares a heart, lungs, liver, pelvis. There's no way they can, you know, try to cut this baby into two. So we're going to have, if we live long enough to see this, a two-headed man. And this two-headed man, we presume, is going to be able to tell us what it's like to live as a two-headed man. And this conjures up so many questions. I mean, for example, if one eats something, is the other going to be able to taste it? Why not? Can one, you know, see through the other's eyes?
Well, also you have your things like your basic motor skills, like walking. Who is going to control the walking? If one wants to go,
yeah.
Will the other one want to go also, or does the other one have to want to go also? It's like, no, I want to sit down here. What, I mean...
What if it gets really weird, like one is gay and one is straight? Or, you know, what if they get in a fight and they just bang each other's heads? I mean, what...
Can the other one feel the other one's head?
Yeah, it's pointless. I remember seeing some kind of commercial, I mean a cartoon with Popeye, back in the day, with a two-headed, you know, monster, and the monster is punching.
Itself.
Well, yeah, punching itself. One is taking the right hand and punching the left head, and vice versa. Do they share the same soul, or you know, are these going to be two souls?
What if one is atheist and one is, let's say, Christian or religious?
Yeah, are they going to be extremely similar, extremely different?
Do you give them two gifts at Christmas or one gift at Christmas?
There are things we cannot even imagine, questions that are going to arise from this. And it just, I'm excited about it. I hope that, you know, the two-headed baby continues to be healthy and thrives and grows and can answer some questions for us. And we know this is not the first time this has happened in history. I mean, I'm sure. So, but you can imagine if a two-headed man was born like this hundreds of years ago, this would have been considered a monster. And it would live in a cave somewhere, I guess. I don't know.
No, they would probably just have gotten rid of it as soon as it was born.
You know, I know it's not the dark 30 hour yet, but it says in the story here that the mother is breastfeeding the babies at the same time. So she's making use of both of her breasts at once. That's got to be weird for the mom, too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if she's going to be able to produce enough to you know, provide the proper nutrients.
Is one hungry and another one not hungry?
Yeah. Amazing. I can just see these medical shows just all over this. You know, there's shows like on TLC or whatever. So, yeah, what an interesting thing to think about. But we have so much to talk about here tonight on the program. And a little bit later, we're going to get into some UFO stuff. As I told you, there is a new flap that's kicking in. Also, the second hour, I think we're going to go down a list of some of the weirdest things that have happened over the past year and some of the biggest paranormal events that have happened over the past year. And some of it is stuff we reported here. Some of it is stuff we just kind of, you know, glazed over a little bit. But another thing I want to point out, Shelley, you and I are pretty excited because in a few months we're going to be in Transylvania.
Yes.
And this is a big, big deal for, we were discussing how big it is to just jump straight into Transylvania and never having been to Europe before.
Right.
And everybody speaks Romanian and who knows what nuances will be in the culture. In fact, Helen Preston, our travel agent, just sent me a list of details regarding some of the places that we're going to visit, as well as the blueprints for Dracula's castle. And I'm looking at this list of things, and the one that just jumps right out at me, the Impaled Forest, refers to an incident that took place at the foot of Tampa Hill and Brazov. And it says here, Vlad, he took numerous captives and maybe up to hundreds of people, they're not even sure, and just impaled them all over this forest. A lot of people have seen the German woodcut that was inspired by that event. It depicts the prince having a meal, and as he sits there, all these innumerable dead people or dying people are impaled in these grotesque positions all around him. Wow, that's going to be a neat place to investigate, huh?
It will. And it's an expedition. It's not just a regular tour.
Yeah.
It's an expedition. We don't know what to expect.
And there are all these people contacting me saying, oh, I want to go, but it's sold out. Well, you know, it is sold out, but there may be cancellations.
There may be.
So if you are interested in putting your name on the list, go to joshuapwarren.com. And there you will find information. And you can go ahead and contact Helen. It's not too late to at least get on the list in case somebody else can't make it. That's how it always goes with a big expedition like this.
Right.
And Dave Schrader's going to be there. We're going to be investigating all this stuff. I'll tell you something else. If you go to joshuapwarren.com, there is no period after the P, you will see a strange photograph that I've posted. Of course, my museum, the Asheville Mystery Museum, is now in the basement of the Masonic Lodge. And just the other day, a young lady named Misty Brooke Keith came to the museum and loved it. And afterwards, she sent me a photo. And Shelley, you're looking at it right now. It's an old photo showing a couple of ladies standing next to a tree. And Misty Brooke Keith's family is from this area. And this is a picture of her grandmother. Her grandmother was a young lady at the time. And there's an older lady there who is the great aunt. The two are posed outside of the clubhouse of an old cotton mill area in Asheville in a place called Chicken Hill. And numerous adults and children died there over the decades. Many of them died from lung problems associated with airborne contaminants. And so here you see these two ladies posing next to this tree, and peeking out from behind the older lady is this being, this creature. I'm not sure what it is. It kind of reminds me of a child. There's even an enhancement there at joshuapwarren.com. Go look at this picture and tell me what you think this is peeking out. We're doing a lot of analysis on this. Shelley, do you have any thoughts? You're not in front of a microphone right now, but here you go, Forrest. It kind of looks like an alien in a way as well. See there, Forrest, there's the young lady, there's the older lady, and look right there, peeking out from behind the older lady. You got this little being, and there are a lot of different interpretations for what is seen here, but clearly there is something there. I don't know what it is, but we love getting these kinds of photos.
Well, I'd like to see if that tree is still even there today.
Yeah, we're going to try to do an investigation there. Tell you something else. If you're at joshuapwarren.com, You will also find information on some speaking engagements that I have coming up soon. I'm going to be going on tour here, delivering my brand new program. It's called 2012, Raw Truth and the Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. And go check that out. I'm going to be debuting this in Charleston, South Carolina on January the 28th of this year. And I have another event I'll tell you about as well. Gosh, we're already up on a break. When we come back, well, we'll dig into even more weird stuff. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange. Around the globe from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. And it's funny because we still have people who don't know the show is back on the air. We, of course, ended in October what we considered our kind of initial run. We didn't know if the show was going to come back or not because there were all kinds of technical changes happening. And we were able to work it out to get this show not only back on the air, but syndicated. So it's now heard on more than one station. And in fact, we are especially happy to be airing on Alien Radio out there in, I think it is Nevada. I called it Nevada before, and
oh, you'll get in trouble doing that.
I know. People like to say Nevada.
Nevada.
It's Nevada. So, but you know, if you are in Nevada, especially if you're listening in that area around, you know, some of the mysterious sites where aliens are seen, send us an email. Let us know. Maybe I'll send you something cool. I might email you something nice you can download. Something fun. We want to hear from Nevada listeners through Alien Radio there. Okay, also, don't forget, if you are listening to this show online, you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour designed by me and the museum in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. Really cool place. HauntedAsheville.com has that info. You'll also find, you know, Facebook page, Twitter, all that stuff. And I was mentioning before the break, on January the 28th, I am going to debut my new live show in Charleston, South Carolina at 4 p.m. It's going to be at Gage Hall, 4 Archdale Street. We have 100 seats available, and if you purchase your ticket online, it's only $16.95. if we have any seats available the day of the show, it will cost more at the door. So this is your opportunity. And basically, you know, here's how we're describing this. You're going to finally get the real scoop on the actual specific facts about the changes coming in 2012. I'm going to be there on stage delivering this. This program begins with the inception of the universe, and then it sweeps through the unimaginable cycles of the cosmos and humankind, zeroing in on this one year that has been anticipated for so long. I'm going to kind of cut through the glaze of all these vague predictions and commercial hype and show you in clear, simple detail exactly what the ancient Mayans actually said, precisely where the economy is leading us, what scientists believe is likely to occur with solar and geophysical shifts in the near future, what are the great risks, what can you do to maybe conquer them, help rebuild a better society on the other side. We're going to talk about spirituality, extraterrestrial life, profound human awareness, all this stuff. And it's just going to be a fantastic experience. And again, that'll be in Charleston. But if you have a good venue near you, you know, contact me and maybe I'll bring this show to your city. And you'll find information there on how to contact me through joshuapwarren.com. And if you are in our immediate area here around Western North Carolina, I'm doing another event. Listed under public appearances on my website. It's the Brown Mountain Lights Symposium on February the 11th. And this is going to be in Morganton, North Carolina. And the Tourism Bureau there has put this thing together, and you can go have a dinner. And I will be presenting, Dr. Dan Caton will be presenting, and then we're going to take a trip to Brown Mountain to look at the Brown Mountain Lights area. I believe all that's just $20. So I got some cool stuff coming up that, you know, you can get involved with in person, and all of it is extremely affordable because I know how tough it is right now in the economy. But here's something kind of interesting about this Mayan thing, and it actually ties into New Year's far. There is a report that came out recently. It's very controversial. Some archaeologists are claiming that some Mayan ruins were found in Georgia. Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah. And, of course, mainstream archaeologists are saying, yeah, BS, there are no, you know. But there are some kind of sort of thin ruins in this area around Georgia, and people all over the world are now fascinated with this theory that the Maya actually came so far north that they had some establishments around that area. So I was looking into this, and since that you and I have been to Mayan ruins in Central America down in Belize,
right.
I was kind of using my eye and looking at these ruins, and I don't know, I can't determine from pictures I've seen what I'm looking at, but the deeper I explored it, the stranger things I discovered. And I realized that there are people who claim that the Maya may have actually moved as far north as Western North Carolina. Because, you know, the Maya just vanished, and nobody knows exactly what happened to them. A lot of people think that their culture started using more resources than they could sort of afford to use. And it was a hard-learned lesson that we ourselves should keep in mind. But nonetheless, if you look back at some of the very, very early reports from the first pioneers that came into Western North Carolina, they were talking to the Cherokee, and the Cherokee told them some very intriguing stuff. The Maya actually called themselves the Itza-ti, or the Itza-te. And in fact, you've probably heard of Chichen Itza, which is this big pyramid area in the Yucatan Peninsula around Mexico. And Itza-ti, or Itza-te, we'll say Itza-ti, it means water wizards. And Chitza means the mouth of the well. So Chichen Itza is the mouth of the well of the water wizards. And they apparently had all kinds of big wells that were filling up with fresh water. Well, it turns out when the pioneers were talking to the Cherokee told them something really intriguing about the fact that there may have been some Maya in this area. People who call themselves the Itzati. When we come back from this break, I'll tell you more about what the pioneers discovered when they followed this lead. So much stuff to talk about tonight on our first program of 2012. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll get back to this story and a whole lot more tonight here on Speaking of Strange. Final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. And coming up next hour, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the UFO activity that is kicking in here as 2012 gets off the ground, as well as some of the more amazing things that happened over the past year. Paranormal events, weird stuff. But before the break, I was talking about the fact that the pioneers, they came into this area hundreds of years ago in western North Carolina, and they started talking to the Cherokee. And the Cherokee were explaining to the pioneers that there were Itzati here. And there were even some towns or villages or settlements the Cherokee called Itzati. But the pioneers, however, they were not very clear on the Cherokee language. As a matter of fact, the pioneers weren't clear on a lot of stuff. That's why we still call them Indians. Right? We found out this is not Indian, said, screw it, you're Indians. And let's call them that forever. But the pioneers were listening to the Cherokee talk about the Itzati, and you know what? That word is very, very similar to the Cherokee word Itzayi, which they had determined was the Cherokee word for brass, the metal brass. And so when they talked about a particular town called the town of the Itzati, the pioneers called it Brass Town. And there is a town to this day in Clay County, which is right around the North Carolina-Georgia border, called Brasstown, North Carolina. Now, I've never been there. Have you, Forrest?
No.
It's a little over 2 hours' drive from where we are here in Asheville. And so there are reports that Mayan ruins have kind of been found scattered around this area known as Brasstown. And I started looking into Brasstown, and I discovered, weirdly enough, that Brasstown is perhaps most famous today because of their New Year's celebration that they've done for, I think, like 30 years. Every New Year's Eve, the people of Brasstown and thousands of people who come in from all around, they get together, and as the ball is dropping in Times Square, they drop a possum.
I've heard of that.
It's called the possum drop, and I think it's at like Clay's Corner convenience store there in Clay County. And there's a big possum festival. People bring all this possum stuff up. I guess people probably bring actual possums and show them off. They have costume contests, all kinds of stuff. I don't even know what they do. But at midnight or approaching midnight, they drop a possum. Now, you might be listening to this and say, oh, that sounds awful. What do you mean they drop a possum? Well, my understanding is they just put a possum, a live possum, in some kind of a acrylic case, and they just slowly lower it, and they have permits and things, and after it's done, they feed the possum, and they let it go back into the wild. Uh-huh. So I'm sure that's what you would do if you were in charge of the possum drop for us. I know you're a possum lover.
I am.
It's your favorite creature.
Beautiful animals.
Yeah, well, they definitely like
no,
them there
not.
In Brasstown. You don't like possums?
I'm not saying I don't like possums. I'm saying that they are the ugliest, scariest looking things, but they have the cutest little feet.
I believe they are the only marsupials in North America. Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, they have a little pouch that they carry their babies in. Isn't that cute? They're very tough, possums are. but if you get bitten by one, it's supposed to be really, really painful, and it gets all infected because their mouths are full of bacteria. Yeah. Boy, the crumpus was a big hit.
Yes.
We talked about the crumpus on our last show of 2011, and since then, people have just been going nuts online. They're planning crumpus parties already for next year. A lot of people had never heard of the crumpus, and they love the idea of this evil creature that comes out and beats your children on Christmas Eve.
Eats them.
And eats them, yeah.
Yes.
Beats and eats.
Beats and eats.
So anyway, maybe at some point I will go to Brasstown, North Carolina, and poke around a little bit and actually see if there are any Mayan ruins. But point of all this being, if there is a Mayan connection, that might further explain some of the UFO activity that is picking up in this area now that 2012 is rolling in. And when we come back from this break, as we go into hour number two, I'm going to tell you about some very weird things that have been happening that really began the night, or I guess sometime on during the period of December 21st, 2011. And of course, we're talking about that being 1 year from December 21st, 2012, which is when, for the first time in 26,000 years, all of the bodies in our solar system are going to line up. And apparently the Earth is going to perform some kind of strange wobble. And nobody knows exactly what this may or may not mean. And it just coincides with all these other things that line up with 2012. So I'll tell you about the latest UFO flap when we return. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And, gosh, we got a lot of good stuff to cover tonight, so don't touch that dial. Let us not fall.